good to go.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
I'm Jan.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. Today we go on with our semi-final reviews, and today we talk about the second semi-final, which will take place on May 9th in Malmö. And I think it's an insanely strong semi-final.
Both semis are really tough. I don't know why people were so confident about one or the other earlier. I mean, they're both going to be bloodbaths.
The first song is Malta. Sara Bonici will perform Loop. Oh my god, you I think people kind of underrate this. I think especially since the revamp, it's a very good song, very catchy. I listen to it quite frequently, but unfortunately I don't really see it qualifying. First of all, because Malta suffers from televote among the most, and it's a song that would do well with the juries, but they don't have a say in the semi. So yeah, I would love this to qualify, but I don't really see it, especially in a semi as strong as this.
I would say that Loop is actually quite a banger, which will be definitely nice and well received in Euroclub and all the Eurovision events throughout the year. I agree that people would be sleeping on it because it's still different. It's not so safe, but like it's still catchy and stuff. But yet again, Malta doesn't have really great track record when it comes to Eurovision lately. And this is also one of the things which doesn't really stand out. I hope that they qualify, though. I'm not entirely sure. But this is also, again, one of the songs which definitely has a potential to go through with the right staging. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, a bit of justice for Malta. I mean, like you said, they suffer from the televote. When this new system was developed without the juries, it really did hurt them. I mean, last year they went second in the semi, which was an unfortunate place to be in, but their staging was like nothing else in the semifinal. They had a saxophone, for fuck's sakes. I mean, what else can you bring? I mean, and they still finished last in the semi. It's just, it's a sin. It's unfortunate. And now you've got Girl, again, dance banger. We're going to have a dance break. They're going to literally pick her up and flip her around. But she's first, again, great opener, radio-friendly song. Once we get through, you know, Nemo and Kaleen from Austria, and we're going to have Gota, which will steal our attention, and then Europapa to end, are we going to be thinking about Loop after that?
We will see. But the cursed second spot, once again, as in old tradition, goes to Albania. I think RTSH really should have a talk with the EBU, because at some point this is not okay anymore. Besa will sing Titan. I liked Zemrendor a lot more. The Albanian version was very nice. This one is a bit basic, but let's look at these countries. Albania have Switzerland, they have Austria with a huge diaspora, they have Italy, they have Greece. I think Albania might be the surprise qualifier that a lot of people don't expect right now, and definitely a contender for the final.
Never count out Albania, no matter where they are in the running order, no matter what. I mean, all things point to this not qualifying, but I mean, if Albania could qualify with that song last year, I have no doubt Titan can do the same this year. It's not, I haven't listened to it a whole lot, not necessarily my cup of tea, but I think Besa is pretty safe here, and I can't wait to hear it live. Maybe it'll change my opinion in Copenhagen at the Malmöhagen party in, what, 2 weeks or less?
I would say that Besa is definitely, she definitely knows what kind of audience is she serving. She knows what to do, how to deal with press, how to deal with fans, and I hope it will go as it should be, you know, properly.
Following after Albania is Greece. Marina Sati will perform Zari. I think this is exactly the right mix. It's out of the box, but it's not completely inaccessible. It's very catchy with the da, 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 da. And I think they shouldn't have any trouble qualifying. Marina is a very professional artist, and I think she has thought this all the way through.
I think I'm the only person that doesn't like this song. So before I get all the hate mail in the world, yes, it's 100% qualifying. And good for Greece. They it's a nice rebound after what happened last year. They're not giving up. They're coming back with something very strong, very not only radio friendly, but also this should please the Eurovision fandom as well. And despite a not so great spot in the running order, this is sailing through to Saturday for sure.
Oh, that's no secret for sure. Like, I mean, from the moment when I saw that, I was 100% sure, because obviously I wasn't familiar with Marina's music from before. But like, I was 100% sure it's going to be, you know, just another Greece Cyprus kind of drama, in a way that, like, oh, it's, or Cyprus always goes for Fuego, Greece always goes for something, you know, totally unnecessary. It's that the nice way to say. But Zari is a slap in the face.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, it's chaos. It's Greek. It's a 3-minute long Visit Greece postcard. It's a music video which costed exactly 200 euros. And I'm here for it because, like, it's authentic. It shows Greece, what Greece is actually all about. It's all about good vibes, about good food, nice views. I love, and for an amazing music, which Marina is definitely delivering. So I'm all staging, here for it.
Staging should be good too, because we know already that this is going to be done in one take with one camera.
Cannot wait to see that.
I know how they're going to do that over 3 minutes is going to be really something to watch. And for a little plug for our Europod jury, so we had a Greek jury. Alcopod is free. Best podcast name since
ours. Best ever. Yeah.
And just speaking to them, they were telling me, like, the buzz in Greece for this song is really good. A lot of people in Greece think that they could win with this. And they invited us, of course, for some Sambuca with them in Athens in 2025 if we end up there for Eurovision.
That would be great. Well, another country definitely with winning potential, as it's number one in the betting odds to win the whole thing, Switzerland, Nemo the Code. There is absolutely no question whether this will qualify. And I actually think that might be kind of a Loreen situation, because I don't really see them winning the semi, but I see them winning the whole thing in the final. So I think much later will win the semi because it's 100% televote. But yeah, 100% qualifying and a very worthy winner if it were to win.
Yeah, do we even need to talk about this? I mean, it's the biggest lock, I think.
Well, I mean, it's definitely one of the hot favorites to win the whole thing. My only worry is that this song will have a hard time having any airplay after Eurovision, because it's so chaotic. So, you know, like, everything goes in the direction that they're delivering so much stuff at once. Luckily, they are a good performer and they know how to perform the whole song well, live. They proved it at the pre-party, so it was fantastic. I'm just having an issue if that will be too much for a casual viewer. I may be wrong.
Okay. Number five will be Czechia. Aiko, who we just spoke to recently, will perform Pedestal. I think Aiko has improved a lot since ESC Z, and because at ESC Z we can honestly say it wasn't really a very good performance, and back then I would have seen her as the last place in the semi for sure. Now I think she might impress a lot of people, but I still think that it will be very, very hard to qualify.
Czechia is still finding its way at Eurovision, I think, even though they've been back now for almost 10 years. It's still like they're taking baby steps with this, and I think a lot of that has to do with the general apathy of the Czech public. It still doesn't seem like Eurovision has caught on there. It's not the phenomenon it is, let's say, in the Nordic countries, for example. So, you know, Chite, the broadcaster, has to, I guess, still slowly kind of deal with this, and there's no greater proof of that than having a televote national final where only 30% of your vote is from the people of the country. You're relying 70% on foreigners to decide. But it's going to be tough for ICO. Of course, this is the semi that has more countries in it, so it's going to be harder to qualify from. What is going for her is her artistic vision, this whole five stages of grief coming together to represent the breakup in the song that she's going to present on stage in Malmö. And any fans following the pre-parties will see the progression of this kind of culminate on stage at Eurovision. So she might get some votes there. But again, following Nemo is quite unfortunate, and being so early on in the running order, I think also hurts her chances too.
I would say that Better Still is a unique song, and maybe Aiko had an issue with pre-parties with her health and stuff, and I hope she gets better in the time for Malmö. If she's putting on the right show, as she's promised, I really hope that she will qualify. But as for now, I have an issue seeing her in the grand final, because I have a feeling that the song that she was delivering it in a way that the whole song didn't show its whole potential, you know what I mean? So again, putting her on a list of the songs that will really need to show how they look on the stage.
Number six will be Austria. Kaleen, who we also had on this podcast, will perform We Will Rave. I am usually very pessimistic about the Austrian entries, except last year. I did expect to qualify then. But this year, I would say I'm back to my usual. And I really have a hard time seeing us qualify because, you know, the performances at the pre-parties were a little bit flat. And it's a good dance song, but there will be a lot more dancing later on in the second half. And she said it will be a 3-minute dance break pretty much, but you know, how will that affect her vocals? And yeah, if it qualifies, it will be a good surprise for me personally, but I don't really see it right now.
I don't know if she's the strongest vocalist to begin with. I think she's more confident as a performer than a singer. So yeah, when singing isn't your number one forte, and then on top of that you're going to be bouncing around dancing all the time, I don't know. Maybe she'll take her top off again. I don't know what she does to stand out in this.
I mean, for me, it's definitely one of the highlights of the season. I would say that it really all depends on her vocal performance, because like, she is a performer indeed. We all know that. We are aware of that. So she can definitely deliver. I'm hoping that she will have some great vocal support on stage, because dancing and singing at the same time, it's not the easiest thing to do. So I hope for her to qualify and I would love to see her on Saturday's grand final.
All right. Number seven is Denmark. Saba will perform Sand. Again, a very good song, and another case that really would benefit from juries in the semifinal, because Saba is a great vocalist, but the song might again be a little bit too basic to reach the televoters. And also, I personally feel like you can tell that Saba didn't write the song herself, because I don't get any emotion from her. That is always very bad with a ballad. So I think, although they would deserve it this year, Denmark will probably miss out on the final once again.
I mean, we're also a bit biased. We did speak to the songwriter who told us about how the song was written. So we do know that. I really love this song. I don't know. I guess that's my forte. these pop ballads, the ones that aren't too emotional. That big finish again, like, she just does it so well. She's such a great vocalist. But yeah, it upsets me that there's very little positivity surrounding this song. You know, they're the neighbors. They're just over the bridge. It would be nice to see Denmark qualify. I think it would be a great moment in the arena. And I haven't seen almost any positivity about this song, so I unfortunately don't see it qualifying, but I would love to see it qualifying.
You know, it's very safe song. I would say that it was pretty much just, you know, one of these kind of songs that took part. And, you know, Denmark, obviously, for the last few years, also isn't the strongest powerhouse when it comes to Eurovision. But on the other hand, she is delivering well. I'm not just sure if this is 100% qualifier, because I think it's too safe.
Number 8 is Jaco by Lada Niva, which is representing Armenia. I think this has no trouble qualifying. Armenia always has a very good televote support to begin with. And this one is so catchy. Everyone will remember this in a recap. And, you know, kind of the Trenetul effect, you know, that really wakes you up. And even in the final, a lot of drunk people will probably vote for it.
This is the song in this semi that for me is all about the performance. And not like, I would never listen to this song on its own. I don't enjoy it that much to go listen to it. But when it comes on, I turn up the volume, and I'm sure it's going to leave a wonderful performance that we'll look back on as a classic Eurovision staging. And I agree. There's no way this isn't qualifying.
Oh, surely. 100%. Like, this is, I would say, one of the songs where it's not even debatable if that's, you know, if that's a qualifier or not. It's just, like, delivered in a way that it's just there.
Yeah. Song number 9 is Hollow by Duns, representing Latvia. And this is in the same box as Denmark for me, because amazing vocalist, a very good song, but again, probably not the song that hits the televoters from the start. And unlike Denmark, I get the emotion from Duns, but I still... Latvia would deserve it for quite some time now to finally qualify again. This year it would be unjustified again, but they always have bad luck with the draw, because I think in semifinal one it would also be a different story. If he qualifies, I'll be very happy for him, but right now I unfortunately have to say I don't think so.
6 years, Latvia and Georgia right now are tied for the longest non-qualification streak. They're both in the same semi, and I agree. I mean, Don's voice is incredible, very powerful. The emotion is there. The song for me is just, it's too slow almost, like it just, and it doesn't really build. So the only savior here is his voice, his vocals. And I don't know in 100% televote if that would work. The juries might have saved this, like they might have saved Aya last year. But yeah, it's too bad. I worry, because like if you're the Latvian broadcaster, at what point do you just throw your hands up and say, well, we've sent everything from, you know, eating pussy to great vocalists to like, what does Europe want?
Well, when it comes to Latvia, it's definitely... There was a nice TikTok trend Dons did with Sarah from Malta. They were doing like, oh, people want ballads. Oh, people want up-tempos. They were like, you know, doing this above boxing. And beyond kind of boxing trend. Yeah. He's a great performer. I mean, that's for sure. Maybe that's a plus, because there's not a lot of ballads in the competition this year. And I think he could do well. It's just like, again, with televote only, it can always be a question.
It's a bit like Alika last year for Estonia, because if he would squeeze through as the 10th place, he could even make a top 10 in the final because of the juries. But, you know, it's the challenge to get through. Anyway, song number 10 is ironically the song that is called 11-11, or is it 11-11, I don't know, by Megara for San Marino. Their benefit is Spain in the semi, but I don't think it's a 12, because I don't really know how famous they are besides Benidorm Fest in Spain, and San Marino always struggles. And
yeah, but when Spanish voters hear the Spanish language, whether they know Megara or not, they'll be I'm sure they'll tune in and be impressed.
Yeah, but I don't think that will be enough to qualify. And it's one of the few rock songs that might be beneficial, but I think the rock fans might go for Norway more than San Marino. So,
this, unfortunately, I don't have qualifying because it's San Marino and because, again, televote really hurts these small countries. But it does stand out. They've had amazing pre-party performances. They're not moving in the betting odds again because who's voting for San Marino? You only move up or down if people are making bets, so no one's going to bet on them.
Yeah.
If there's one shock qualifier from Semi 2, I think for me it would be San Marino. If they were like the 10th country announced and they popped up, like it would be amazing, but I wouldn't be that surprised. Like, you know, we're talking about other songs like Denmark. It is what it is. I just don't see them qualifying. But San Marino is the one that, of the probably quote-unquote sure non-qualifiers that just might, just it's just different enough, and I think it would be an incredible moment for the arena.
No, I mean, like, San Marino is definitely, even though it was a huge shock when they won Unavoce per San Marino, I think they're, I mean, Megara is like a real, a pure quality, you know, when it comes to that. So, if that will be... if that will be a shocking qualifier from that evening, that will definitely be San Marino.
Yeah, and I can't wait for them to rock in Copenhagen. We'll get to cheer them on at the Malmohagen party. We've got another performer there, and I think Don's as well. We've got quite a few from the semi.
Yes. All right, song number 11 is Firefighter by Nuta Buzalace, representing Georgia. And again, it's like Latvia and like Denmark. Georgia would really deserve to qualify this year, but it's Georgia. And I really hope this is their year. I think this might even be stronger than Latvia and Denmark. And I actually expect an epic performance because Nuts has an amazing voice. And, you know, the song is epic. I love the song personally, but I don't know if it's going to qualify just because you should never rely on Georgia qualifying. That's the problem.
No, I thought Iru was going to get through last year, but then, you know, of
most
course that
people did.
Yeah, I mean, what, again, like Latvia, like, what do they have to do? They've tried everything from like ethnic choirs to, you know, what can Georgia do? And I think in fairness this might be close. If they don't qualify, this might come 11th or 12th.
Yeah.
She's got some fame abroad, having just done American Idol. So American Eurovision fans might recognize her. She might get some televote from the rest of the world. But again, like you said with San Marino, is that enough? So I worry. I do like the song. I do listen to it. But I'm worried for them, just like I am for Latvia, that this streak might continue.
Song number 12 is Belgium. Musti will perform Before the Party's Over. It was very high up in the betting odds when it was released, but it's gone down since the pre-parties because he was just screaming a lot. I think Belgium is qualifying, but the surprise winner effect that a lot of people thought on this one, I don't think will happen.
No, I don't see us going to Brussels next year, but it's still a qualifier. I expect a good staging from this, and hopefully he can tone it back a bit with the vocals, and we'll get a more studio version type vocals in Malmö. Yeah. Because I don't know. It's almost like he's going too hard so far in the pre-parties. He's trying to impress too much, too hard, and it just comes out as screaming when you have this nice power ballad that doesn't require that. He's like throwing too much emotion at it. So we'll see. He's a pro. This isn't his first kick at the can. So I'm sure in this interim between the parties and Malmö, it'll all sort itself out.
No, but like, I mean, the song is really great. Just like I think that Musti is one of those artists who struggled with the vocal abilities on the pre-parties. I'm hoping for him that he will deliver and that he will, you know, do his best to perform the song live in Malmö as good as possible. But yes, as I said, I'm not entirely sure if we're going to Brussels. I don't think so this year.
Number 13 is Estonia. Viis Müünist ja Puuluup will perform the unpronounceable song title. They're like 8th or 9th with the betting odds, but I think in a 100% televote semifinal, this has to go through. And we already know their staging, their epic dancing, and the audience will resemble that. So I love it. And I will probably, I might even give them a vote or two from Austria as well. Who knows?
No, I'm going to be very quick. You're just talking about the song, and I can hear it in my head, and I'm already kind of dancing along to it in my seat. I can't wait. This, for me, is going to be kind of like Luktelk from Semifinal 1. I cannot wait for the whole arena to just be up and jumping around and screaming, and this is going to be so much fun live. Very, very happy we chose to go to this one, this Eurovision this year, because this is going to be the biggest party, I think, in many years at Eurovision.
Yeah.
Go Estonia.
It's just not the Estonian entry this year is not really on my playlist, but I'm sure they will mesmerize the audiences in Malmo.
Well, song 14 is Israel. Every day I'm losing my mind. All I can say is I think Israel's a qualifier.
Yes, because they're going to get votes from a lot of countries. It's a perfectly fine ballad, and I don't see this not qualifying.
Yeah, I think the song is qualifying.
Song number 15 is Ulveholm by Goethe. Which I think is 100% qualifying. One of my personal favorite. I know it's not either of your guys' type of music, but I really love it, and a lot of people compared it to like Shum because it's not a very studio-friendly song, but if you see it live, it really goes crazy, and I really think they should qualify, and they will.
Speaking of that, like, can you believe it's been over 3 months since we've spoken to them?
That's crazy how long
it was. Time. I don't know. I'm just kind of overwhelmed by the passage of time. Yeah, it's a sure qualifier. It's not my favorite, as you mentioned, but it's certainly different enough. It'll stand out, and anybody that likes that genre of music, that's pretty much your only option in the semifinal, so they should rack up a lot of votes.
I think that, Nora wasn't really my cup of tea, but I see why people enjoy this, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they wouldn't qualify.
And closing the second semifinal are the Netherlands. Jost Klein will perform Europapa. I don't even know where to begin. This is my personal favorite this year. It's already sort of the anthem of Europe whenever I see it on TikTok so many times. 100% qualifying, very likely even winning the semifinal, and maybe even a contender to win the final. It went up to third place in the betting odds right now, so I have very high hopes for this.
We spoke with, and I'm going to pronounce this wrong, so I apologize, for our Europod vote. We got some Dutch votes from the Songfestival Gorts podcast. And similar to the Greek podcast we spoke to, our colleagues in Holland were very enthusiastic is too low of a word. They are 100% convinced that Joost is winning. The whole country is in Europapa mania, and they apparently have some insights into the staging that they were kind of hinting at but couldn't tell me. And they said, prepare for something we've never seen before. so it's an understatement that this is qualifying. But again, I don't get it. Maybe I'll enjoy the staging, but it's not something I enjoy listening to. And on that note, Jan.
You have to become European to feel it.
Well, give me the passport. I'll come over and then I'll vote for it. How's that?
Okay.
Please.
And you will be... You'll be Europapa. No, I mean, it's totally understandable why Joost Klein is one of the strong contenders to win the whole thing. It's a total crowd pleaser. people are seems to be crazy about it. I'm still about to board on that train when I get close to Malmö. But like, of course, I would say that any of those artists who you know, who are on the top five are pretty much in the running to win the whole thing. It's definitely this year, definitely it's not Karia, Lorien situation. There's at least a few more names added to that list, and that makes it really, really exciting. And it's great to see how, let's say, Just Klein, who's not an artist who would be, you know, coming from Eurovision world, he's trying to involving Eurovision inside of his community and his fandom, which is great and which is fantastic. And this is why I'm saying it's one of the strongest years this year, and I'm so excited for it.
Yeah. And as you said, the whole top five of the betting odds could win, and they're all amazing. It's an amazing top five. Yes, but before we end this episode, now is the big question, which are our qualifiers? Or maybe to make it easier, which six do we see as the non-qualifiers? I have a pretty clear vision this time. I think this is, there are so many good songs that it's a little bit more obvious than semifinal one. Should I start? My non-qualifiers are Czechia, Denmark, Latvia, San Marino, Malta. And then for the sixth one, I am struggling between Austria and Georgia. But because I really hope, my head sort of says Austria, but my heart says Georgia. So I say Austria will be the sixth non-qualifier. And Georgia will finally redeem itself with the amazing Nuzza.
Wow, we have the exact same ones, except at the end, my heart is saying Austria, my head is saying Georgia, so I put Georgia in 11th place, so I've got them out and Austria in, and we were caught by Georgia last year, so, I mean, I'm happy to be wrong, nothing against Colleen, but it would be nice for Georgia to be back, for sure, and I wouldn't be upset by that.
My non-qualifiers are, as for now, Czechia, Malta, San Marino, Latvia, Albania, and Denmark.
Okay, so that is our prediction for semi-final two. Let us know what you think. Let us know who your qualifiers or who your non-qualifiers are. And stay tuned for more episodes where we will, among others, review the Big Five and, of course, the host nation. Bye-bye.
Bye.